ask that you will cause your Holy Spirit to be here upon our brethren as he comes to stand before thee and us, that he might bring the words of life to us. And we pray that you will use those words and the power of your Holy Spirit to touch each heart, that we may be able to see the things that we need to do to support one another in the right way, and to know the path on which we should go, which is that straight course before us. We know that there are sick ones among us, and we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon them and heal them of their sicknesses, that you will bless those who have lost loved ones, that you will touch their hearts with that consolation that they need to have that comfort in their grief for the loss of their loved ones. Of our sick ones, we pray that you will touch them and heal them of their sicknesses. And as we look to you in that spiritual way, we ask that you will give us of the light that needs to enlighten our souls, that we may become truly strong and converted in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in this light, that you will touch the heart, the mind, the soul of our brother, and all of us as well. That as he brings these words of truth forth, that power of your Holy Spirit will truly carry them to our hearts, and in so doing, make us strong in the Spirit, strong in that right way. And so we pray that you'll bless us in this way this morning, and start this reunion. In this first preaching service, we know you have already started it with the prayer service, causing your Holy Spirit to inspire and touch each heart with the testimonies, with the understanding that they will be able to do the things here that would cause them to be prepared for those days to come. And so bless us today in this way as we wait upon you, knowing that your Holy Spirit and this true path and that straight course before us is the thing for which we do seek and determine ourselves to walk in. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
I give.
Well, greetings to all of you and your beautiful faces. As my beloved brother asked me this morning to take charge for him, it seemed like almost immediately I remembered, or tried to remember, when I first knew him. And you know, I can't remember for sure, but I remember that it was when we were small children. And we've gone through a lot of things since then. But all of those things, the endurance of times away from home and the military, it all comes down to each of us has learned the vitalness of our hold on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I know that this permeates his soul, as I know that he is my dear and beloved brother and friend. So I ask for him, your smiles and your prayers this morning, that the power of Almighty God and his Holy Spirit will rest upon him and give him the strength and the words that we need to hear this morning. My beloved brother, Elder Lorne Bryant.
Thank you so much for that introduction. And good afternoon, or good morning, possibly. I'm kind of slipping by. Good morning to everyone. It's a pleasure and honor to be able to share this service with you. When I think of all those that have gone on, those holy people that left their testimonies, their writings, their inspiration and their deeds that we can study together from the books, from the scriptures. And we can pick out those things that tell us about this, what sometimes referred to as the angel message, in the which, after the Adam and Eve were cast from the garden, the Lord sent his angels out to tell them about a salvation through his Son who would be sent to break the bands of death, to furnish the blood of the atonement by which we wash our sins away in, and makes us fit to be members of his family on earth with a hope of being members with him in the kingdom of heaven. You know, he built this earth, and then he put a garden, planted a garden. But there is a kingdom of heaven before, and still is, and there is to be other things come. And we can think about those things just a little bit as we sit here. I believe in reunions, to digress a little. You know, my folks drug me to a reunion, I think it was about 58 years ago or so. 57. I heard a sermon that caused Christ to enter my heart, and I wanted to wash away my sins. So I entered this little found out here. So I think many of you may have brought, maybe you brought your children hoping something good would come, because there's love always here. There's joy here. There's kindness, you know. I think people wander around but kind of like to put their arm around everybody they see, because they're lovable. They're the children of Almighty God. Reaching out for righteousness. Sharing the love of God. And we come here with our problems. Some of us suffer physical things. Some of us suffer spiritual things. Apostle Peter says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. The trial of your faith worketh patience. Do we feel like that there comes a time in our lives that we don't have to repent? You know, there's a statement in Scripture that says something about enduring to the end. Fitting ourselves to dwell with a holy being in a holy environment. You know, we can read the vision of Nephi and Lehi, and it carries us through an age. It bears witness of Jesus Christ, of His coming going in the future. And you know, we read on and we see that in that vision we find that in the days will come there'll be only two churches, the church of the Lamb of God and the church of evil or Satan. And we read further in the Book of Mormon, and it describes that it's going to be Christ's church. He gave it a name, His own name. And then He said it would be His as long as it reflects His works in it. What are the works of our Lord? You know, no unclean thing can enter the kingdom of heaven. Do we have a formula for washing away all things that come upon us? You know, when our Lord and Savior was baptized, He was carried away by the Spirit to be tempted. And He was in prayer for a long time, and then Satan come to Him in a moment of weakness. He was hungry. He was worn. He poured out His whole soul resisting evil. I think every soul that enters the waters of baptism and becomes a child of God through baptism and a partaker of the angel message, the message that came from the very beginning and went on down. You know, there's quite a little bit of mention of angels. You know, we read in the book of Revelation where John takes up where Nephi and Lehi's vision ended, and he picks up and he says to the angel of this church, and that church, there's seven of them, to the angel, are some of you folks as pastors going to be that angel that that message is to? Or do we feel like it's strictly talking to heavenly things? Because He talked of earthly things and obedience and righteousness, I feel like that we are supposed to be like that. Because it says, if you've been made partakers of the Holy Ghost and the powers of the world to come, and speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, purifying our love of God. So that's why we come here for righteousness. And can we accomplish righteousness in our own strength? Can Lauren Bryant do any good thing? I say unto you, no. Only that which is given of Almighty God. We go back to, as when I digressed a moment, talking about our Lord and Savior when He was carried away to a private place called the wilderness, tempted of evil. And Satan took His mortal body and he placed it on a mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, these you can have, you're worshiping. And he took Him, set Him on a pinnacle of the temple. The thing that we want to remember is, mortally, His mortal strength or His mortal mind could not withstand the evil of Satan. So if we're in the process of washing our garments that we might be perfect and acceptable in the sight of God, we've got to have His help. We've got to seek Him with all our hearts. We've got to help our brethren to resist evil, because there's much evil in the world. Do we feel like, as I mentioned earlier, that there's a time when we can not be touched with evil as long as we are in these mortal bodies? You know, Nephi, who walked and talked with God, and the Spirit of God in the form of a man, he spoke as one man with another. He saw all those things. He had the testimony of a Savior. And then you go on a little further, and I've got it in my notes here. I could read it, but I'll just kind of tell it, I think, for a moment. He said, oh, miserable man that I am. The temptations that was besetting him. Well, we thought he should have escaped those things because he had been in the very presence of Almighty God. Yes, the three Nephites were carried away when they requested to be save souls as long as the world should stand, or change was wrought upon their bodies that they could not be subject to the power of earth and the powers of evil. Maybe not as great a change, the scripture says, as at the last day. Yes, there is a kingdom of heaven. There is a place of joy and peace. We can read in the 21st chapter of Revelation of a river of pure water flowing from the throne of God and leading to the tree of life, a pure love of God, which is life eternal. You know, we can't hardly describe life eternal. It says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the great things God has prepared for those that love him. I read that. I think that. I would like to give it to you and to me, but I realize that his promises, who is they to? They're to his own. They're to his family. Those that have sought him. Those that have been obedient. Promises to the disobedient are not something I want to be partakers of. The obedient children of God, the members of his body on earth, those that do his will. You know, he had a parable of the talents, you know. And he gave some, and they acquired other talents. They used these things God had given. So we look at ourselves and we think of the church. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I think all those things will be here at this reunion. And I can mention all these wonderful things knowing through the blessing of God that they're going to be here for the people. The prayer of faith can heal our sick. The testimony of Jesus Christ can give hope. The prayers of people who are perhaps engulfed with things that trouble them and tempted. You know, from the very beginning, we were faced with good and evil. The Lord planted that tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as long as we are in this mortal body, we will be exposed to those things. And at times we will be engulfed in them. But knowing that we must escape those things, we escape them through the gift of God, just like our Lord and Savior did when he was carried away to be tempted. How did he escape the evil? He escaped it because he spoke that which is written. It was written in the Word and in his heart. You know, it's important we have the Book of Remembrance, the Book of Life, the testimony of the nations, the sure word of prophecy. Apostle Peter said, we have not followed devised fables, but were eyewitnesses on the holy mount of the power and majesty. And we had those holy people that came there, Moses and Elias. Moses, who stood with the Lord on Mount Horeb, and the power of the Lord overshadowed him to such an extent that his face shone with a luster that caused people to fear him when he descended from the mount. Elijah, you know, who walked in such strong faith that he overcome all the false prophets. You know, there's a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. I don't want to go there. Someone who predicts an end that's not true. Perhaps teaches a shortcut not taught by the Lamb of God that would rob people of the preparation of salvation. Do we think that it's hard to be a follower of Jesus Christ? You know, he says, take my yoke upon you. For I'm meek and lowly of heart. Learn of me. Pardon the misquote. It's a plan of happiness. We live in a world of evil. Sometimes we speak of the dark ages, you know, and I think the ages can't get much darker than they are right now. We have some of the attributes of in our world today of Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality, among other things. But yet, when you got up this morning, did you think of anything you could do that for joy and for recreation that would have not be attached to sin? Maybe a side coming to reunion would work. But reunion is going to be over in about 3 days, isn't it? Then what are we going to do? Well, Monday. Monday rolls around, my beloved brethren. And we're still enduring to the end if we're still alive. You know, if for no other reason to become a child of God, if it was just to be one of those people that could make a good influence on your neighbor or on your family. You know, the Lord wants to, He spoke from time to time, you know, but to the Israelites and to the Nephites and others, raise up a people of righteousness. If I thought there's something I could do that would make my children and grandchildren partakers of the Zionic condition that was prevailed for 3 generations after the immortalist descension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When He reached out His hand and taught the people, He says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." That's what it said in Revelation. And then when they heard the voice from heaven, the third time they opened their ears to hear it. All we have to do is listen, don't we? The Lord will tell us what to do, how to make those decisions from day to day when Monday rolls around and the reunion's over. This is just a little introductory sermon, and the main sermon's is going to come later. I can bring up all these things to you, and my brethren will explain them more perfectly, probably. They brighten the hope. You know, we think of Moroni. I love to think of those holy people who sealed up this record. And he wrote the 7th chapter over there wherein he spoke faith, hope, and charity. The pure love of God, that, of which is the formula for us to enter into His presence with joy. But you know, some of us may not be able to do great things like Moroni, but we ought to pick out something we can do, some deed of righteousness, some deed of love, and then be thankful for it. Let our heart be filled with thanks to overflowing for every good thing that has entered our life, everything that we've received and everything we hope to receive. Because thankfulness is very pleasing to our Lord. You know, we pray whenever we echo the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Going back perhaps for just a moment to that cleansing. "For no unclean thing can enter the kingdom of heaven." And we're busy washing ourselves in the blood of the Lamb. Perhaps we look on the buried in the waters of baptism. But more important, we look upon the gift of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of fire and cleansing fire in the Holy Ghost. And do we look upon it as something that we see with our eyes? No, I'm afraid not. We look upon it as that still small voice that reaches us. Just like it told about, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The still small voice that taketh away that which would defile us, that sin. That takes the things of the Father and gives us to us. That reveals us unto us things to come. Have you been visited, perhaps, with the knowledge of something, a warning, or something good to share? Have you felt this small voice? Or have you, when you was engaged in something that was in the toils of some kind of temptations or evil, did this small voice whisper unto you a solution to this? How wonderful it has been that our Lord, ever since the first man was created, has poured out his Spirit upon mankind and has drawn us out of the world. John in the 17th chapter says, Jesus says, I pray not for the world, recorded by John, but those that thou hast given me out of the world. He says, be ye separate, touch not their unclean thing, and I will receive you. The hope and the joy that he brings in our hearts gives us this plan of happiness. There's no person can be as happy as a righteous person. He has something in his heart that's good, a hope that no earthly thing can take away, and a joy to share. Something for the children, for your neighbor, for your brother, for your sister. Jesus, when he went about to heal people, his heart was full of compassion. He says, my bowels are full of mercy. So he called all the little children to come up unto him. And he took them in his arms and he blessed them. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we come to him with full purpose of heart, the power of the Spirit of God will bless our little children. It will give them unspeakable joy in their hearts that the babies might coo and the children might smile. And perhaps we get the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that our old men might dream dreams and their sons and their daughters might prophesy. I fully believe in the completeness and the fullness of the power of God extended unto the children of men, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't believe that year 1998 is any different than the year our Savior was born, or the year he was crucified, or the year of the restoration. I believe in the restoration. That the kingdom of heaven is set up, a church. But if we lost this church, would we lose all? Would not this extended hand of God reach us if we sought him? Oh, I think it has, will, and always will. Look at Moroni, who wrote all those wonderful things, and he was alone, a refugee for his life. Not a single brother to share things with, it was mentioned at least. Yet he was so full of the Spirit of God, it practically leaped from the pages of the things he wrote. Apostle Peter, who was persecuted and crucified upside down, he wrote. You know, all these guys, people say it so much better than I can. I just read a little bit of the first chapter of 2 Peter. If I can find it. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, they rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall not fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them to be established in the present truth. There's nothing like fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we don't have fellowship, we still have the extended almighty power of God. All we have to do is seek him and ask. Ask and it shall be given you, saith the scripture. Seek and ye shall find. So those of us that are privileged to enjoy this reunion together, let us seek the Lord with an outreach for our loved ones. Let us take every occasion we can find to introduce them to things that would influence them to be obedient unto the invitations of the angel. The angel message of salvation that makes us alive, that quickens us with that hope and that life that shall be forever lasting, that carries us beyond this days of trials and troubles wherein we are. Evil is on every hand. That we might have goodness in our heart. We might find joy. That as the forgiveness of God cleanses us, body and soul, knowing that others suffer these things, let us be kind to one another, loving. And above all, let us not fail, let us not offend anyone. Neither our God who looketh down upon us at all times, or those we have our life with, look for ways to be delivered from offense. Be slow to anger and slow to wrath. I read another little scripture. You find it right quick. I'll start with the 7th verse of the last chapter of James. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, ye count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any another oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he commit sins, they shall be forgiven him. On every occasion when I petition the Lord with the laying on of hands for a gift for a brother, my heart says, if I don't love this brother and present him, if I don't present him in love and with the knowledge perhaps of his needs, the Lord who healeth the body and he healeth the soul. How much more important is it, the healing of the soul? Quite sick a couple of years ago. One night, I was pretty low, I thought. And I passed out or went to sleep or something. And I had this sensation, carried away in the arms of my Savior. Yet I'm back with you and evil is all around. But I did experience total peace, that joy, and that testimony that our Lord is there for us. Always. You know, it says in Proverbs, the day of joy is, the day of sorrow is better than the day of joy. The day of death is better than the day of birth. We can't hardly grasp that. We might have to sometimes, but let us enjoy this reunion together in the Spirit of God. If any has a need, we'll go to our Lord with it. He'll give it to us. Anything right and pleasing in him and acceptable in his sight will be given of him. I believe that he's extended his arm today, yesterday, and forever. Two things perhaps I would read, and I don't know where to read all these things from, but it's nothing that I have marked. I've got a whole page full of references, but it seemed like I got away from that. Read the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi. And now behold, my brethren, my beloved brethren, all these messages from these holy people is a message of love. Did you not feel a love in the words that I read from Apostle Peter? Did you not feel a love? Even though I confess again, I am nothing, but these holy ones, full of the Spirit of God, has given us something that the Spirit bears witness in our hearts of the truth and of the hope. Are we discouraged in thinking that we haven't complied with the will of God? Do we think at the last day he's not going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord"? If you feel like you lack something, let's work on a little bit during this reunion. Let's look out about us and let's say, do something, a smile for a brother and a sister. Perhaps a hug if it seems appropriate. Don't be scared, folks. I'm not going to run around and grab all of you. Now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which you should do after you have entered into the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your heart? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you have received the Holy Ghost that you could speak with the tongue of angels? And now how could you speak with the tongue of angels save it were by the Holy Ghost? And angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, therefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things whatsoever you should do. I mentioned a while ago, we'll work on it during this reunion. Because Jesus, when he spoke of those deeds of righteousness, of giving to your fellow men, he said, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So if we do it to each other, we're doing that very thing that bringeth to pass our cleansing of our hearts and preparedness to live in a life with our Lord in a place of holiness and perfection, where there's no night, there's no sorrow. You know, we're meant to get kind of tired in this life, I think. Because he says paradise is a place of rest from all your troubles. So maybe we're supposed to have a few of these troubles. So if we live too good a life, let us be extra thankful if we don't have any troubles. You know, I don't know very many people that don't have some troubles. We read the Lamentations of Jeremiah, haven't we? We read the record of our Lord and Savior, who said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs, hath not where to lay his head. But he had something more important than that. Mortally, the Satan could carry him about in the body, but he couldn't shake that spirit that he had, because it was given to him without measure. He was born of the Spirit. And we are in the process of being cleansed by the Spirit, born of water and of the Spirit, and made members of the body of Jesus Christ, taking upon us the name of Christ. And if there's a little something that makes us ashamed that we haven't lived up to this, the Lord's still giving us the day of life, today, tomorrow, and the next day. For repentance, for asking. And remember always that our Lord and Savior is our advocate. He's praying for us. He knelt and he prayed and he said, I am troubled by the sins of the house of Israel. So he prayed for them. He's drawn us in from those things that would take away the pureness of our hope. The fullness of the joy, the total indwelling of the Spirit of God, which gives us that pure love, wherein we can comply to the fullest extent to the two great commandments, wherein we love the Lord our God with all our might, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. I'm glad to be among you neighbors this day. My heart's full of joy that God has shed forth a bunch of people. By their fruits you should know them, and your fruits, to my eyes, is very good. Joy to behold. He that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. I'll read just a little more of this. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do. Wherefore now, after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way, and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew in you all things whatsoever you should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ. There will be no more doctrine given until after the time he shall manifest himself in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye always observe to do. I'll read a little poem and close it. No matter what else you are doing, from cradle days through to the end, you're writing your life's secret story. Each day sees another page penned. Each month ends a 30-day chapter. Each year means the end of a part. And never an act is misstated, or even one wish of the heart. Each day when you wake, the book opens, revealing a page clean and white. What thoughts and what words and what doings will cover his pages by night? God leaves that to you. You're the writer. And every word shall grow dim till the day you write the word finish and give your life's book back to him. I thank you.
Feasting upon the word of Christ. What a cherished bit of advice. Let's turn to number 195.
Thank you. there are some things that we should remember so we know what to expect in times to come. There's a song service this afternoon at 2:30, or thereabouts anyway, and at 3 o'clock there's a preaching service by our brother Elder Joseph Smith, and dinner will be at 5 p.m., and a song service at 6:30 p.m. At 7 o'clock, our brother Stephen McGee will speak to us, and those are the lineup of things for today. There's much more for tomorrow and, of course, Sunday. So keep these things in your prayers and your plans. Shall we bow our heads, please? Our Father, which art in heaven, as we come to the close of this day, thank you for the reminders of the things that we need to remember. Help us to truly refresh our memory often on these words that you have given us that will lead us to salvation, that will sustain us in our hour of need, because as we do recall them, you do attend them, accompany them by that power of your Holy Spirit, and give us that strength to endure and live that right way, to have that right attitude, to have our hearts full of that pure love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may be able to give that proper kind of support to each other. And so as we end this service, we pray that you'll carry this theme and that power of your Holy Spirit, attending the words and guiding your people, filling their hearts with those things that they need to remember that will bring them joy and that hope that will strengthen them for the days to come. And so we pray that you'll bless them and bless all of our activities of this reunion, that your Holy Spirit would direct and guide and watch over and take care of it. These are the activities of your church, and we are, according to the words of your Savior, we are commanded to remember and call upon you, that you will bless the church for the sake of this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you will truly do that. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Wondering about that, yeah. If we could get you to calm down just a little bit here. We would like to have your attention. And so if you'll leave off of the visiting for just a moment, and we're going to ask our brother Roland to ask the blessing on the food.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee at this time, giving thanks unto thee, O God, for this blessed hour that we have had together in worship. And as we continue with anticipation, we come to thee now asking